do with that. All right, guys. So, Tanner invited a ton of really excellent guests here tonight. Speakers who I've never met before, but I have total faith in Tanner. Tanner, this is all on you, dude. No, totally kidding. Coming to the stage, Tracy Hall. Woo! Right there. Hi, Tracy. Tracy is, by the way, the Deputy Commissioner of the Department of Cultural Affairs and Special Events.
Hi, everybody. Hi. I really did wear shoes. I did. But I have a knee problem, and I was like, I don't want to fall in front of all these people. Before I go any further, I just want to say Claire has skills, right? I was like, you know, I love hip-hop, so I'm not going to give it up. But I was like, you know, Eminem is a very dense writer, so you have to know what you're doing because he puts a lot on one beat. And you didn't slip, so I was like, Okay, and then I also want to thank the adorable Tanner Woofer. He is super smart and super generous and amazing. And I remember before I met him, I moved back to Chicago from New York to take this job and to really support artists in Chicago, because that's, I think, what makes Chicago special. You know, I think, really, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And when I came back, somebody said, you have to meet Tanner. And I kept hearing that. And when I met him, I saw why. And so he's just a great thought partner. But anyway, he is not responsible for what I'm about to do. So don't blame him if I suck. But this notion of discovery, the first thing I thought about was discovery is, you know, what was a big discovery for me? And I'm reading discovery as epiphany. What was a big epiphany? And one of the things that I was thinking about, I'm going to take this off because it's going to clink. One of the things that was a big discovery for me was really the real Kwanzaa. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about it. I'm a writer, so I do what writers do. They read their work. All right. So I'm going to give you a little history, then I'm going to talk about the epiphany really quick. An activist academic during the post-civil rights Black Power movement named Marlena Karenga came up with the notion of an African-American holiday called Kwanzaa, meaning first fruits of the labor, in 1966 as a way of creating a holiday rooted in the African tradition. Celebrated just after Christmas from December 26th through January 1st, by the time I became a young adult, this African-American holiday, Kwanzaa, had not only taken hold of African-American imagination, it had also taken hold of my African-American imaginary as a teen. It's based on seven principles. The first one, Umoja, which means unity. The second one, Kujichagulia, which means self-determination. I would later study Swahili, and the G is reflexive. So you can say, I cut myself. Niji kata. You know, it's like really important. You put that G in there, you did it to yourself. And I think that's hot. What other languages do? What other languages do? Also, to say et cetera in Swahili, it's nakadalika, nakadalika, nakadalika. So, you know, it's a hot language anyway. Ujima, which means collective work and responsibility. Ujamaa, which means to build, or cooperative economics. Nia, which means purpose. And then Kuumba, which means creativity. And then finally, Imani, which is faith. All right, so now, I was really into Kwanzaa. I got into Kwanzaa because it seemed like all the hip and cool people around me were in Kwanzaa. They were like into it. As soon as like Christmas would come, they'd be like, oh good, that's over. Now we can celebrate Kwanzaa. So we were always doing stuff. Like we were having like Kwanzaa celebrations in the post office. Did you know that some of the postal workers would actually have the keys to the post office and go in and just make this whole Kwanzaa festival while the post office was closed for the holidays? I would be like, you know what? I don't think that's right. But it's cool. It's really, really cool. So I'm going to tell you what happened for me with Kwanzaa. So by the time I got to college, all I could think about was all the things I was interested in, but I was very interested and fascinated with the idea of Africa. Anywhere in Africa. Africa has over 50 countries. I was like, anywhere, anywhere. So I signed up for my junior year abroad. How many people did junior year abroad? Right. And for how many people did that define you? It defined me. So I had this opportunity to go to Kenya, and I'm going to study at the University of Nairobi. But most importantly, It doesn't matter that I'm going to study in this great school where some of the great writers are or have sent their kids. Wally Soyinka, Chinua Achebe's son, David, was there. Ngugi Wa Thiong'o's son, whose name is like the opposite of his. It's like Thiong'o Wa Ngugi, which is very, very interesting. I was like, this is wonderful. I'm studying with and from and with African intellectuals. But the most important thing is I'm in the land of Kwanzaa. So I have this roommate, Anyango, and Anyango has all of the cool, she's now like a sales rep or something in Toronto. I saw her just the other, not too long ago. So anyway, but at the time, they're the cool kids. You know, they read, they're into art and all this other stuff, and she has this really best friend named Sionzi. Sionzi lives in this small village. A village is Kijiji in Swahili. So Sionzi, right around, Christmas time, we're on break, and she says, Teresa, because no one could get my name, Tracy. She says, Teresa, do you want to come home with me for harvest? What? Kwanzaa? Somebody's inviting me home for an authentic Kwanzaa? Oh, yes. I don't even ask questions. She tells me what time she and her uncle are going to come pick me up, and I just pack my suitcase. And I'm from L.A. originally, and I like to bling. I like to bling real, real hard. Like, this is like, I'm just in drag, like work drag. But I really like to bling. I like to bling real, real hard, like Lil Wayne. Bling, bling. Every time I come around your city, bling, bling. That's me. I like to bling real hard. So I'm packing all the most impractical clothes because it's going to be like 7 days, so a week of Kwanzaa. So I pack like this red dress. It's all bling. I pack all my shoes are bling. Oh, it's just amazing. So we get in this car. Her uncle takes us and he's supposed to take us just to the outskirts of town where we're going to take what I think is another taxi and soon we'll be home. Oh, it's hours. Oh, it's hours up and down. I think we went to Uganda. I don't know. We just kept going. Finally, by the time we get there, okay, it's cool. And there's like a group of seven people. We would walk 3 more miles before we go to her small village. And okay, but it's Kwanzaa. So the first night, day one, no Kwanzaa. Her grandmother, who's like this really old wizened woman, asks Sionzi, and they don't speak Swahili. They speak Kikuyu because they're Kikuyu in a whole nother village. She says, ask her what she wants to eat. So I said, I don't know, chicken, that's fine. And her grandmother says, tell her to catch the one she wants. All right. By day two, Sionzi is getting me up really early in the morning. It's harvest. So I put on my red dress, and I'm going to tell you really quickly what happened. I think her grandmother had looked at me and sized me up and said, oh, Sionzi, you brought home a good one this time. I was working up a storm. They actually had a corn and bean, like maize and bean farm. We had to harvest. And I found out that really when she meant harvest, when she said harvest, that's what she meant. We were picking for 3 days. Her grandmother, because I'm looking strong, her grandmother says, why don't you have her go up to this hill and bring down the water? Because, again, there's no like, so I had to learn how to walk with one of those big jerry cans. And one of the things I learned about my African sisters is the reason why they can roll those hips is because they have to. Because that's how you balance that water. My clothes were destroyed. My shoes were destroyed. But I'm going to tell you about the last day. So we're getting ready to go back to university. I think I have lost weight by this time. My no bling. Really, I had these shoes with some rhinestone toes. Man, if you had seen those shoes, my goodness. But by the end of it, okay, they were very, very sad. And I left them there, actually. So that tells you what happened. But in any case, I remember the last night we had to go back to school. We're going to go back on that same journey. Her grandmother, who's kind of just keeping the hearth, she's not out there working, but she's directing everybody. We're around a fire. All the fields, we have been out there, and I really learned how important agriculture is and stamina. But her grandmother starts to sing, and her grandmother has the most amazing voice. And I don't understand what she's saying, but you could tell that everybody else in the family was really getting enlivened by the grandmother singing, and it's a song, obviously, that meant something to them. And at some point, after she had been sitting there, she gets up and she starts dancing, and she has just enough energy to do her dance. And then her son, who has also come home, he joins his mother and he's dancing. And the look in their faces, and we were all weary and tired and working from sun up to sundown. Somehow in that dance and in that fire and in the loss of my bling, I realized what Kwanzaa really was. That it is about a harvest. A harvest harvest of that flow of when you give and take, when you contribute to something that is bigger than you, that you might not just reap the benefits from directly, but that you really have been a contribution. And I knew that my bringing the water and my helping had really contributed to this family, and that the reason why Sionzi had asked me home for the harvest is because they needed the help. And so now I really know what Kwanzaa is. And that was my discovery.